Welcome to Restaurant Influencers presented by Entrepreneur. I am your host, Sean Walchef. This is a Cali BBQ Media production. I want to give a special shout out to Toast, title sponsor for this show, for believing in the power of storytelling, believing in the power of hospitality in life, in the restaurant business, and in the new creator economy. We learn through lessons and stories. Today, I have Adam Ochstein, who is the CEO of Fishbowl. Fishbowl is an incredible company that I have known about as a restaurateur. I don't know when I first learned, but we opened in 2008. And I remember right when we first started doing digital marketing, the first company that we signed up for was Fishbowl. And Fishbowl is doing all kinds of new, cool things, and wanted to have Adam on the show. Adam, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Sean. And like you, most of the restaurant industry used Fishbowl at one time. If you've been around a while, heard of Fishbowl. And like you, a lot of them left during some of the tough times, but our goal is to get everyone back.
I love it. Well,
back in the Fishbowl.
Adam, let's start there. Let's start. Where in the world is your favorite stadium, stage, or venue?
My favorite stadium doesn't exist anymore, which would be Old Yankee Stadium. But new one's nice, but Old Yankee Stadium's great. You and I were just talking before we went on air about SoFi, which is on my bucket list to see. So hopefully one of these days I'll come out for a football game to watch my Jets lose to either the Chargers or the Rams.
Let's go back to Old Yankee Stadium. We're going to talk to Toast. We'll talk to Entrepreneur. We'll talk to Fishbowl. We'll get a bunch of restaurant technology, digital hospitality leaders to sponsor an event. We're going to fill it with you, the listener, people that we like to say are playing the game within the game. There's people that are curious that might just listen to a show. The people that we've interacted with that have supported this show, they actually get involved. So if we put on a kick-ass event, a TEDx style event, I know they'll come. But I want to put you on pitcher's mound, give you the mic and say, Adam, tell me your Fishbowl story. How did you come to be the CEO of Fishbowl, and what is Fishbowl building for the future?
Yeah, so I spent a while in the restaurant tech space. I was founder and CEO of an HR payroll SaaS company, Stratex, which was acquired by Toast back in 2019. And after then, I stayed on board for a while, and then did some advising, consulting work, and when the opportunity to help lead the next stage of Fishbowl came up, back when I joined, it was they changed the name to Personica. The opportunity to help be a part of the next chapter of, as you said, you know, an iconic OG email marketing company and help build the next version of what Fishbowl is to be was too good of an opportunity to pass up. And, you know, been here for little less than 2 years and extremely excited to be a part of our growth that we've been having since I've been here, and hopefully some continued success, and to get all those restaurants that used to use Fishbowl back in the bowl.
Bring me, so I have some statistics. You have 50,000 restaurants, 9 billion emails, SMS offers, 154 unique guests in your database. You've generated $10
billion.
154 million. Thank you.
Yeah.
154 million guests in the database. 220 million personalized offers last year, and $10 billion in total gross revenue generated for your clients. Those numbers are insane.
They are insane. I would like to take, you know, maybe 10% of the transactional revenue. some of our revenue. Right? I don't think we'd have the volume we had if we did that, though, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Tell me, just give me a global scope of what those numbers mean and still the opportunity that's available.
Yeah, it means that email and email marketing is still really relevant for restaurants, right? Until old gray-haired guys like me die off, we're still going to pick up our phone, check an email. I might view a text here and there, but I'm still going to look at my email all the time. And if you are getting emails from a restaurant and it's well-crafted and pithy or has a relevant offer, it works. It works better than the than the junk mail I get, in paper form from the Postal Service on a daily basis. There's something special about still receiving an email to me. Maybe it's because I'm in the email SMS marketing space, but to me, it's still a powerful marketing tool. And even if someone doesn't act on it, keeping that your restaurant brand on top of mind is always important.
Let's talk about email, and specifically let's talk about birthday emails, because in the digital hospitality space, digital marketing space, storytelling, there's so many different places that restaurateurs are asked to be available to market their businesses. But from a simple premise of a guest comes in, they like the barbecue at our restaurant, and we offer them the one thing when we were Fishbowl clients back in the day, which was, would you like a free peach cobbler on your birthday? Simple.
Yeah.
Literally just give us your email address. We will put it into our database, and automatically the week of your birthday, we are going to send you a free peach cobbler for your birthday.
Yeah. I had the privilege. We had our company-wide kickoff 2 weeks ago. And I brought back, it was fun to see him speak, but we had Scott Shaw speak at our kickoff, and I got to hear, or the whole company got to hear, Scott was the founder and CEO of Fishbowl. So I got to hear from his point of view how the company took off, and he talked about the power of the birthday email. And he said when they grew the company from a concept to, it's really its apex back in 2015, 2016, that simple thing of, birthday email, last time visit, and a follow-up email, along with an anniversary of you becoming an e-club member. Those three, if he said, if we can execute on those three, everything else is gravy.
Yep.
And obviously it's gotten a lot more sophisticated since then, but the birthday email is still extremely powerful. I mean, who doesn't want to get an email on their birthday with a free offer?
It's unbelievable. And I'm so happy that we get to talk about it because it's so easy. anyone that's listening to this, if you own a restaurant, if you're in the restaurant space, and like that, that's a reminder to me too, because we have so many different digital channels now. We have Uber Eats, we have DoorDash, we have Toast, online ordering, we have all of these different places, social media, Facebook, Instagram, yeah, TikTok, YouTube, podcasts. Like there's so many different ways for brands, for us to interact with our customers. The simplest thing is just showing them that you care. Like that's true loyalty, right? Is I care enough about you as a brand, as a restaurant, that I'm going to tell you not the year that I was born, but the day, the month and the date of when I was born. And you don't even have to do anything. You just need to put it in, and then automatically it will generate a gift. And when you get that gift, I get it, or my wife gets it, it reminds us of our favorite restaurant. Like I don't need to come in on the day. I can come in anytime that week and redeem my offer. And I'm going to go tell all my friends, like, we're going to go to my favorite restaurant.
Yeah. It is such a low hanging fruit, no brainer, that, we still get,
it seems ridiculous to talk about.
It does,
but it's so effective.
And it's different. We do a lot of SMS as well, so I'm not discounting SMS. Right.
Yeah.
But there's something about, an SMS, like it's thought, it's transactional, it's quick, it's that moment in time, which is great if you want to like, hey, come in today, we have an offer today. But the birthday email, it sits in your inbox, maybe you put it in a folder, store it away, and then you come back to it. No one's going to scroll through their text and look for, when did Cali Barbecue send that birthday? Oh yeah, it was right around my birthday. Let me look for that text. Email's powerful.
Very powerful. Can you tell me what is Delightable?
So what we've done, Sean, is we've taken all of the historical knowledge that we have and realized, as you referenced, so you started listing off DoorDash, Uber, Toast, Toast Online, loyalty, SMS, email. There's all these different databases or systems that have guest data. So Sean probably sits in any given restaurant, between guest Wi-Fi, online ordering, POS, reservation data, et cetera, your information sits in probably seven or eight different systems. So if I'm a marketer and I want to have this, you know, single version of the truth for all my guest data. What we've done is taken all of our historical knowledge and try to elevate it a bit by saying, we don't care who you use for all those other systems. We might use us for a lot of them, but we understand that you're from your MarTech stack, there's going to be a bunch of different things or systems that interact with guests. Let us be the CRM or system of record for all that guest data, so that when I do, it comes time to market, you have really good understanding of, you know, day part, whether it's off-prem or on-prem, what you actually ordered that was on the ticket, you know, last time visited, birthday, and all those other things. So I might not send you a peach cobbler, you know, the next version of Delightable. I might not send you a peach cobbler, get a free peach cobbler, if I know every single time you come in, you get the pecan pie. I might send you a pecan pie offer as opposed to the peach cobbler, right? Or maybe, you know, I don't like fruit, you know? So whatever the situation might be, you might be able to mix up your offer a bit by getting your arms around all that data. So rather than a spray and pray, we're looking to personalize that it by getting your arms around more data. And that's really what Delightable tries to do.
Can you explain the decision for using Delightable as a forward-facing, that's from a social standpoint, like Delightable's the Instagram account versus Fishbowl being the Instagram account?
Yeah. And those who know me or listening, or you get a chance to know me, I am blunt and honest and truthful. I inherited the name Personica. I didn't know what Personica was. I knew who Fishbowl was. So rather than name our new product with a Personica name, we came up with the name Delightable, which is delighting the table. We figured it's a product name. And, you know, we went about in 3 months after we launched Delightable, we launched it on Valentine's last day last year, you know, our love affair with restaurants. Let's give our love back. That's why we launched Delightable on Valentine's Day. I think in late April, early May of last year, we changed the name back from Personica to Fishbowl. Yeah. So we have some branding cleanup to do, which we're going through the process of right now. Delightable will still be our flagship product, but it'll be powered by Fishbowl. So we're going to start to introduce, and, you know, because people know, if you've been in the restaurant industry a while, you know the name Fishbowl.
For sure.
So people don't know what Delightable is. It's a product name. So in terms of our, you know, Instagram, social media, it'll probably be, you know, transition to Fishbowl.
Yep.
Delightable Fishbowl product.
That makes sense.
To make sure that we're capturing some of that, you know, that brand, you know, that brand equity we've built up over 20 some years.
I would love for you to talk more about brand. I was fortunate just last week, I was at the Toast sales kickoff and I was able to interview Aman Narang, the co-founder of Toast and now the new CEO, and just talking to him about brand and him, you know, honestly sharing that wasn't something that he thought about. He thought it was, we're in the B2B space. No one cares. Let's just build the best product possible. And when you're starting in the beginning, you don't believe, or you're not thinking that that even matters until you get to a size of a Fishbowl or a Toast where all of a sudden that's how people know you and that's how people talk about you. Can you bring me back to your early days, back when you were early startup founder of how you thought about brand and what you've come to learn now that you sit where you sit?
I had the privilege of working closely with Aman when I was at Toast. So, I echo what he said. Like when I first started, I was a, you know, brand new entrepreneur, just, running on blood, sweat, and tears. I didn't care about brand. I care about getting new customers and growing the business. I didn't care what you call it, just sign up with my software and be a happy customer.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you start to grow a little bit and you start to see your name listed on either a tech landscape for the restaurant space by an investment banker, or you start to see a list where, like, you know, do you want to competitor list of StratX? You start to realize that brand does matter, and people have an opinion of you when they see that brand. And, you know, there's a favorability there. I think at StratX, we changed our logo, I want to say 4 or 5 times, logo and color, in our first 8 years, not thinking it really mattered. And then until finally had a brand expert come in and say, guys, stop, you got to stop it. Stop it.
Stop it.
And, you know, so that's why it was thoughtful of when we changed it back, the name for Fishbowl back from Fishbowl to Personica to Fishbowl. You know, we just didn't do it in a cavalier way. I wanted to make sure that Personica didn't have, you know, built up brand equity. And, you know, I did a straw poll of our customers, but it was more also a little bit of gut, Sean. Like every time I spoke to any customer, they're like, I know you changed the name to Personica, but you're always going to be Fishbowl to us.
Yeah.
So, and when I was interviewing, when the private equity firm called me and they're like, we have this opportunity to come to call Personica. I'm like, I've never heard of them. And they're like, oh, it used to be Fishbowl. And I'm like, oh yeah, Fishbowl. What's what happened to Fishbowl? So brand does matter. It matters a lot. And I granted the company fell in some hard times. So yeah. I understand the reason to potentially want to change the name, you know, look over here, you know, it's a new company, but we're Americans. We love the rebound. We love like the 100%. Rocky stories where like, you know, yep. Guys fall on the mat and they get up. We're getting up right now. And, you know, people are going to root for us because we're special in the industry, and the industry's better with Fishbowl in it. And I'm saying that as the custodian of this brand that I didn't start, but I have the privilege of helping to lead and run. And I owe it to Scott Shaw. I owe it to the guys who helped found it and built the company up what it is to get it back in good standing. And that's really what I feel I'm, what my job here is, right?
I would love for you to share a little bit more about what Scott said to the team about what you guys are building, being the stewards of the brand and Fishbowl. I think that's, it's the founder's story. I find the bigger the brand gets, the harder it gets lost. Because people think, I've already said it, I've already told you the story, like, we're already here, let's talk about what we're doing here. But then you don't realize how many new people, doesn't matter how big the company is, how many new people come to find, you know, my favorite example is, you know, the Michael Jordan quote or the Kobe Bryant quote, where they would ask, they've asked both of them, well, why do you play so hard in the regular season? Like, why do you act like this is the NBA finals? And both of them separately said, I do it for the child that's never seen me play in real life. You yeah. never know, you know, and it goes back to a comedian that by the time they tell their Netflix joke at a stadium, they've told that joke tens of thousands of times. But we have a problem as entrepreneurs of telling the same story over and over. Can you bring us into the Fishbowl story and let our audience know what you have to be a steward of and what you need to continue to tell?
Yeah. You know, and I'll give a little bit of backdrop. You know, Scott founded the company, you know, he was murky on the start date because there's a couple, you know, a day when he came up with the idea of Fishbowl and started using it for his restaurants that he owned. And then the day where he actually started to do this for other restaurants. And, you know, let's say it's 25 years ago, 99, 2000, Scott ran the company as founder and CEO up until about, I think, 2015, 2016. And they sold to private equity and, you know, he transitioned out. And when I joined, Scott was not a customer, and he has 14 restaurants under Alexander Restaurant Partners now in the DMV and in Orlando, a very successful restaurateur. And he wasn't a customer of Fishbowl. And I reached out to him and I said, you know, there's something wrong in the world. if you're not a customer of the brand Absolutely. You started, what do I need to do to get you to become a customer again? And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm begging. I'm just someone, what do we need to do as an organization to earn your business back?
That's, I mean, compliments to you for doing that, because that, I mean, that takes a lot of chutzpah to go, hey, something's wrong here, but I need to go to the source. Like, there's yeah. What better source?
And he said, well, you know, here's what I'm looking for. And, you know, he basically described Delightable, what we're building. And we were at a stage where it was still like a prototype. And I said, you're in front of your Zoom, but are you on your phone or can I share a screen with you? He's like, yeah. I said, just want to show you, is this what you're talking about? And I took him into an early prototype of Delightable that we're, still, building out as an MVP. And he's like, this is exactly what I'm talking about. He's like, if I was still at Fishbowl, I wanted to build this like 6-7 years ago, because I knew that restaurants weren't only using us. Yeah. They were using, there's other sources of data. And he's like, the challenge that I had entering a greenfield opportunity back when I started the company in the early 2000s of doing a lot of education and explaining why if you're a restaurateur, why you even need to send an email out. He said, I came up with the birthday thing as a way of, if I can show ROI around the birthday yeah. thing and some other quick things, I can show them the power of email. He's like, you're entering the same type of greenfield opportunity, which you need to explain to restaurant or entrepreneurs why they need a CRM for restaurants if they have a way of already marketing to their guests. You're running through the same type of challenge. So what I dealt with 20 years ago, you're dealing with now sitting in my chair as an organization, educating the marketplace and getting them to understand there's a better, more efficient way to get, using your guys' terminals, get asses in seats, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's a virtual ass with online ordering or it's
of course. Absolutely. What gives you energy on a daily basis to focus on the things that you guys are building?
Speaking of customers and prospects, I mean, they're to me, I love any entrepreneur, but there's something about a restaurant entrepreneur that just pulls on every single heartstring that I have. It is the absolute hardest industry out there. And the passion that every single restaurateur brings to their game on a daily basis. How do you not want to deliver for restaurateur? It's the stuff you guys, the challenges you go through as an industry. I think I made the analogy to our team that there's only two things that are going to survive a nuclear holocaust. The old adage used to be cockroaches are the only thing that's going to survive a nuclear holocaust. And I'm going to den that statement and say a restaurateur, because you can throw a pandemic at you guys, FICA tip credit elimination, great recession, inflationary costs. It doesn't matter. You guys find a way to continue to succeed. So how do you not want to deliver a restaurateur? That, to me, that's what gets me excited and juiced on a daily basis.
How do you get the Fishbowl message, the Delightable message, to more restaurateurs? What's your strategy for events, for non-events, for marketing, for media, for storytelling?
Well, I wish that Capital was as cheap as when Toast started back in 2013, when they can hire 500 sales reps and just flood the market with Toast reps. We don't have the luxury of that anymore. So, and we have a limited sales team. And, I've said before, I'm old school, where to me, it's like getting in front of customers is picking up a phone or stopping in the restaurant. But, the top of funnel marketing, decisions are being made before a sales rep even speaks to a prospect anymore. Yeah. So we have upped our game, or I've upped my game as CEO, of understanding the importance of digital content, dark social, podcasts like this. We're working with the branded guys a bit on some, branded hospitality guys a bit on, awesome. On some content. Last year, I think we just attended National Restaurant Association. I'm like, we have nothing to exhibit. This was what I inherited. This year, I think we're attending 8 or 9 different conference events throughout the country. And we're going to do restaurants.
Attending or exhibiting? Attending or exhibiting? Both.
Both. Got it. And we're going to do the Restaurant 365 Restaurant Transformation Tour again this Fantastic. Year. We did that last year. So, those guys have always been great partners of mine. I love the guys at Restaurant 365. And, you know, to me, it's a potentially really good partnership for us. So, you know, just get in front of people. Like when we were at NRA last year, people came by the booth, you know, talk about power of brand and said, "Oh my God, you guys are still around." Like I didn't realize Fishbowl was still in business.
I
And
appreciate the candor. Yes, that is what I thought as well.
so, you know, that's a fun story to tell, right? We're still here, we're still relevant, and this is what we're doing now.
For sure. No, I think it's fun, fundamentally back to Americans love a good comeback story. It's hard to do.
It is.
It's hard to do, but the challenge is is what gets me excited for, you know, someone like you to come in and say, I'm up for the challenge. This is what we've built. This is the legacy that we have. How do we not only win back the customers that we had before, but also how do we get new customers?
Yeah. You know, I've done a couple startups now. I have the privilege of being successful in, you know, two of the ones I helped build. And I was, you know, I was in sales at some other startups, like in sales leadership, but you know, where I'm sitting in my seat, you know, this is my first turnaround. And to me, they're extremely, extremely similar. But for you have I've revenue now, right? Why didn't you in a startup you don't have
That's
revenue?
nice.
But with that, you also have some, you know, some debt, like some psychological debt, some technical debt, right? We're building, you know, that's part of the reason we built Delightable was taking a core product that was built in the early 2000s. And rather than put lipstick on the pig, and you know, I figured you can appreciate that with the barbecue,
Always,
rather than
always.
put lipstick on the pig. Let's find some ways, you know, let's just rebuild the entire tech stack in a modern way that we can scale. And you know, that was challenging too, because now we have customers on two platforms. And how do I give the carrot and not the stick to our existing customers to migrate over and move their cheese from this is how you do things in legacy Fishbowl product, and this is why you should want to use Delightable. And that's our big goal this year, is to get the lion's share of our legacy customers moved over to Delightable, in addition to obviously getting a lot of new logos on it. You know, because to me that'll be the best feedback for product innovation is speaking to current customers on, you know, you tell us what we need to build and we'll build it.
For someone like you that lives in the loyalty space, who do you see outside of the restaurant industry that does a great job with loyalty brand-wise?
Outside the restaurant space, Bonvoy always comes back to me as a doing a really good job. Like I'll go out of my way to stay at a Bonvoy hotel. You know, even to the point where I think last time, one of the last times I traveled, I went to University of Maryland, a little plug for the Terps. So I went back for a football game in the fall, and I was staying at a Marriott property. And all my other friends were checked in the room, and I'm sitting at the bar, you know, waiting to get my room. It's now 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I go back to the front desk, and I'm like, "Check-ins at 3. Like, my room's still not ready." Or like, "Mr. Ockstein, we don't have anything on a higher floor away from an elevator with the type of setup that you like." So
Really?
that's why there's a delay.
That's
And
amazing.
to me, that is what I want to bring with Delightable, is that personalization. You know, the whole Norma Cheers for, you know, you're a restaurateur. If you have one or two units, a really good general manager is going to know that personalized information. But the bigger you get, you're relying on people to know things about your guest. So I want to give data to do that. And I think guests are willing to share data, as long as they're going to derive some value and benefit for sharing that information. If you know that I don't like to sit near the bar, that I like a booth in a quieter area, and I'm a regular, you're going to do your best to seat me in that area, right? And know that, like, because that matters. But if I'm share that data with you, you're going to only enhance my experience on a daily basis. So Bonvoy does a great job. I hate all airlines because I fly enough to hate them all. But American, I think I fly American all the time because I'm in Chicago. But everyone says Delta's got a great loyalty program too. But I wouldn't know from experience.
Well, I appreciate the candor, and anybody that's listening to this, you matter. Your story matters. We want you to join us on LinkedIn. You can connect with me at Sean P. Walchef, SHANPWALCHEF. Every Wednesday, every Friday, we do a LinkedIn audio room. So you can come on stage, tell us about your restaurant. If you're in sales, if you're in marketing, if you're in tech, this is a place for you to come and get involved. We also do a social shout out this week. Social shout out goes to Marina Borges. She is sales for Fishbowl. She is active on LinkedIn. She connected with me. She introduced me to Adam. I'm always looking for the best storytellers on earth, the best ones on hospitality, the best ones in technology. And Adam, I'm so grateful that Marina did her due diligence, got us introduced. And now I'm really excited for what you guys are building. Can't wait to see you guys out at all the shows. What's the best place for people to learn more about Fishbowl?
Fishbowl.com on the World Wide Web or on LinkedIn. Make sure you find the Fishbowl restaurant marketing, not the Fishbowl e-com that does e-com. Story for another day about how I get blown up every now and then with hateful mail about that company. Email, LinkedIn.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
And real quick, before I let you go, I want to learn a little bit about your smartphone storytelling tactics. Are you an iPhone or an Android user?
I'm an iPhone user.
iPhone, what version?
I used to get every single new version, but last year I took off, but I do have the 15.
You have
Max
the 15.
Pro, whatever. Max
and
Pro,
how do you prefer emails or text messages?
It depends on who it is. If my buddy Sean is reaching out to me, I prefer a text. If it's
okay.
If it's a cold outreach, I prefer an email.
And do you prefer phone calls or text messages?
Depends, you know, like it really depends. Like I never mind a phone call, but text is something, you know, depending on the purpose of it, you know, text serves its purpose, but you know, sometimes the written word doesn't replace the verbal word. Right.
Do you leave voicemails?
I feel like that old guy in the progressive, you know, don't become your parent. I still leave voicemails.
That's fantastic. Which app do you use for maps?
I'm Apple fanboy, so I use the Apple Maps because it's native and it works with my CarPlay.
What is your favorite app on your phone that you use it the most?
Slack probably within, you know, Slack for internal communication, but like I'm on LinkedIn a lot. Like that's the social media app that I'm on a lot. So
are you posting on LinkedIn?
I do post on LinkedIn, but a lot of times I just sit there and, you know, just kind of scroll around and like, you know,
see what's going on.
You see what's going on. It's weird, isn't it? Are you on LinkedIn doing that?
I'm very active on LinkedIn. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're very, it, we believe that there's no greater, at least from a B2B standpoint, digital playground than LinkedIn right now in 2024. People are on there looking for educational content, like real truth, like tell us what you're building, like building in public. And the people that are building in public are building these incredible opportunities, networking that, I mean, I am shocked every single day of how many people that I don't even know that are following me on LinkedIn. But when I go to an event, you know, I was just, like I said, a Toast sales kickoff, the amount of sales reps that I had no idea I was even connected to them. They're like, Sean, it's great to see you. I love your videos. I love your content. Keep putting more out there. Okay.
You know, it's talk about like brand renaissance. Like look at Microsoft. Right. I mean, yes. Microsoft's a great store and everyone thought they were out for dead. Now it's like one of the most valued stocks out there and they own LinkedIn, right? Yep. Like some of the assets they bought and built over the last 10 years.
Great it's
example of
Huge.
Renaissance, right? Yeah.
Correct. Well, yeah. I mean, LinkedIn is like, it's a huge opportunity. I encourage you to continue to post and your team to continue to post on the company page, but also individual, you know, humans connect to humans. Humans are the heart of technology. And that's how any of these great organizations are built, is that we, you know, we know who our guy is or who our girl is. Like, that's who we work with. And no matter where they go in the company, that's the brand storytelling, right?
100%, no doubt.
Where do you have a favorite quote?
It's a longer one, so I'll just give a bridge, which George Bernard Shaw. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die, for the harder I work, the more I live. Life is no brief candle to me. It is short of a splendid torch, which I have hold of for a short period of time. And I wanted it to burn as brightly as possible before handing it off to future generations.
Wow. That was off the cuff. That was beautiful.
Being thorough, something about being thoroughly used up, about like taking advantage of every single day and giving back, right? Because it's also about, you know, giving back to the community and being, you know, just burning your candle out, right? Fully.
That's amazing. It's Adam Ockstein. Thank you so much, CEO of Fishbowl. Please connect with Fishbowl. We'll put links into the show notes. Connect with me. I'm weirdly available. I love to hear your story. no matter where you find me on the digital playground or in real life, as always, stay curious, get involved, and don't be afraid to ask for help. Adam, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Sean. It was a pleasure.